Today, we're doing a critical deep dive, really focusing on leadership accountability. We're going through the leadership refresher training on sexual assault response, specifically the one for the Colorado Army National Guard, the CORN, pronounced CORing.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't, you know, just another check-the-box training.
No, this is about operational readiness. It hits right at the core.
Right. The whole point of this training, really, is to make sure every leader, doesn't matter the rank, is totally up to speed, proficient in prevention, knowing how to intervene, and understanding the serious consequences.
It's about protecting the mission, ultimately.
Absolutely. Protecting the unit's ability to do its job.
And we're zeroing in on module one today, prevention and readiness. So the key takeaway for you, the leader listening, is understanding your specific role in prevention and seeing how incidents, even ones that seem small, really degrade your mission capability.
And that responsibility, it starts with what the training calls a comprehensive approach. Think of it like layers of defense. It begins with you, the individual leader, living the Army values, the Army ethic. That's the foundation. But then it radiates out.
Right, outwards. So beyond the individual.
You've got the next layer, your peers, friends, family, those immediate circles.
Okay.
But the most critical layer you control as a leader, that's the third one.
Uh-huh.
The unit, the organization itself.
That positive command climate everyone talks about.
Exactly. It's the absolute firewall against toxicity. Then the final layer is the wider post and community. But you need all four working together. It takes constant effort.
Okay, let's dig into that. To fix or maintain that climate, you first have to, spot the signs, right?
Yeah.
The training really hammers this point.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders need to get good at seeing the difference between healthy and unhealthy relationship dynamics.
Yeah, because those private behaviors, they don't stay private. They spill into the unit.
So what defines healthy? What should leaders be modeling?
Well, things like honesty, being able to give and receive candid feedback without, you know, fear of reprisal. Trust is huge, knowing your teammate won't undermine things.
Makes sense. And independence.
Yeah, having that space for individual growth, not being suffocated by the relationship or the team dynamic in an unhealthy way, and fundamentally, equality and respect.
Which includes handling conflict well.
Absolutely. Healthy conflict. Discussing issues openly, respectfully, not judgmentally. You see these traits in high-performing units all the time.
Okay, so that's the goal. Now, the flip side, the warning signs. What flags unhealthy relationships that leaders absolutely must act on?
This is where leaders need sharp eyes. Look for things like intensity, that really extreme, overwhelming behavior demanding constant attention.
And maybe someone thinks, okay, Specialist Smith is possessive off duty. Why is that my business?
Because that lack of emotional control, it shows up everywhere. Possessiveness turns into control issues at work. Isolation, someone pulling away from their buddies, their support network that makes them vulnerable. Manipulation, guilting.
Volatility too, right? Those unpredictable blowups that intimidate people.
Exactly. That destroys trust instantly. How can a soldier follow an NCO under pressure if they're afraid of their reaction? And sabotage, like purposely ruining someone's reputation, that's a direct attack on unit cohesion and even the chain of command.
So if a leader ignores these signs, or worse, shows them,
it directly eats away at unit cohesion. Performance drops. Trust evaporates.
So connecting the dots.
Yeah.
How did these personal, maybe off-duty looking behaviors translate into something measurable, something that affects readiness reports? How does this training make that link clear?
It links directly to the readiness continuum. Figure 3.3 in the material lays this out. Sexual harassment, sexual assault, SH and SA, they drag unit readiness down. You can literally see it on the unit status report. The USR, it moves you from green towards red.
Yeah, the visual in the training is stark. You have these dark silhouettes. Those are your ready soldiers. Then SH or SA happens and boom, they turn gray. They're effectively lost to the mission.
And they're lost for real reasons you can track. Time off for investigations, medical appointments, counseling, but also just the emotional fallout. The lack of trust kills productivity. That gray silhouette represents a quantifiable loss.
So leaders have to defend that green box, the professional work environment. That means what? Engaged leadership?
Engaged leadership. Living the Army values, ensuring dignity and respect, and holding people accountable. You, the leader, you're the center of gravity for keeping things green.
but if things slip.
You hit the yellow zone, and this demands immediate leader intervention. These are those early warnings we talked about.
Like excessive flirting, a generally toxic vibe.
Inappropriate jokes, comments online. If you, as the leader, let that toxic joke slide in the group chat, you've just given permission for things to get worse. You're signaling it's okay.
And if that's not checked, it escalates towards the orange box.
Yeah, now you're bordering on criminal stuff. Behaviors like sexting, catcalls, maybe physically cornering someone using those sexually charged cadences.
This is where the online conduct rules come in hard, right? Think, type E, post.
Crucial. Think about the message, who sees it, the impact, type E. Make sure it aligns with army values, post. Only if it shows dignity and respect, if leaders don't enforce this.
You end up in the red box. Sexual assault. Criminal offenses.
And the cost there is mission failure. Loss of personnel, unit cohesion totally destroyed, zero confidence in leadership. It's catastrophic.
But there's a way back. The training mentions the teal box.
Yes, that runs along the bottom of the graphic. It represents leader engagement and intervention happening throughout the continuum. Swift, decisive action, especially in the yellow or orange zones, can actually reverse the slide. It can pull the unit back towards green.
It's about active prevention through timely intervention, not just reacting after the fact.
Exactly. So let's make this practical. We've got a few vignettes, scenarios from the training that show exactly how this plays out, how leaders need to step up.
Okay, let's hit vignette 3. Barracks and online surfing. You've got Specialist Jones walking through the platoon area. He overhears Specialist Williams and Specialist Duffy talking.
Yeah, and they're deep in a conversation about planning something. They're talking to a woman, Brandy, from a dating site about meeting up for group sex.
It gets specific fast. They're talking about sharing unsolicited pictures. Brandy mentions a latex allergy.
Which immediately flags unprotected sex risk. Big red flag right there.
And then the kicker. She wants her husband to watch and film it.
Okay, so Specialist Jones, the bystander here, he's witnessing multiple high-risk behaviors, plus an inappropriate conversation happening right there in the workplace. What does leadership do? What are the intervention points?
Specialist Jones has to step in. He can't just walk by.
Absolutely not. He needs to stop the conversation right there and address the risks head on. There are at least 3 major things. First, the obvious health risk, unprotected sex. Basic safety. Adultery. Under the UCMJ, sexual relations with a married person is a serious offense. It violates trust, it wrecks reputations, it goes against army values.
Got it. And the filming aspect?
That likely falls under Article 134 of the UCMJ, the general article. Conduct that brings discredit upon the armed forces. A leader intervening needs to make it clear. Participating in or even just planning this kind of activity, filmed or not, is completely unprofessional and unacceptable. It undermines everything the Army stands for. It's a tough conversation, but essential.
Okay, tough, but necessary. Let's move to vignette 4, company day room. This one hits command climate hard. Sergeant First Class Woods, the platoon sergeant, is briefing his squad leaders, Staff Sergeant Alfred and Staff Sergeant Jones, about new soldiers arriving. 4 junior enlisted females.
And Staff Sergeant Alfred's immediate reaction, he proposes a $50 bet, a really crude, sexist bet about who he'll sleep with first.
And Staff Sergeant Jones jumps right in, adding another disparaging comment. They're basically poisoning the well before these soldiers even arrive. Sergeant First Class Woods is right there listening.
Right. So what does Sergeant First Class Woods have to do in that moment to stop the slide into the yellow zone, or worse?
He needs to act immediately.
Immediately. This calls for what the training calls a proper response on bystander intervention using the direct approach. No ambiguity. He needs to make an instant on-the-spot correction.
Just shut it down.
Exactly. Remind both those staff sergeants, those NCOs, that their conversation is totally unacceptable. Yeah. That it violates Army values, violates the NCO creed. Address it right then and there at the lowest level before that toxic attitude spreads.
Okay, final one. Vignette 13. Command climate again, but this time via group text. A new soldier gets added to the squad chat.
And over the weekend, the memes start flying. Inappropriate stuff, a dumb blonde joke, another one making crude jokes about sex with overweight women.
Yeah.
It's just toxic.
And the squad leader's reaction in the chat?
He immediately posts a laughing emoji. He basically endorses it, sets the tone that this trash is okay.
So the new soldier, uncomfortable, does the right thing and privately messages the squad leader about it.
Right, tries to address it discreetly. Uh-huh. And the squad leader's response is just, wow, it's a complete failure. He texts back, fine, I can drop you from the group and just text you individually.
Instead of fixing the problem, he isolates the person who spoke up.
Textbook failure. This leader didn't just tolerate Yellow's own behavior. He encouraged it with the laughing emoji, and then he punished the soldier who tried to uphold the standard. He essentially told the new soldier, your discomfort is your problem, not the squad's toxic behavior.
So solution there.
It has to go up the chain. That squad leader has shown he's incapable or unwilling to maintain standards. The chain of command needs to step in, address his failure, and fix that toxic environment he allowed, or even fostered.
Which brings us back full circle, really.
Yeah, the bottom line is, preventing sexual harassment and assault, it's a team sport in the Army. But it absolutely starts with you, the leader. Setting the example, intervening when you see something wrong.
And like we saw in that readiness continuum, stepping in early, hitting those warning signs head on, that's what keeps the unit professional, keeps it mission capable. It prevents losing soldiers, prevents destroying cohesion.
And remember those three direct impacts this training highlights. SH and SA lead to loss of manpower, destruction of unit cohesion, and deep corrosive distrust within the unit. Period.
Okay, so based on everything we've discussed, especially that readiness continuum, and how even seemingly small things push a unit towards the red zone. Here's something for you, the leader, to really think about. How does your refusal, or maybe just your hesitation, to address a simple toxic joke in a group chat, something clearly in that yellow zone, how does that inaction immediately translate into a real, measurable degradation of your unit's mission capability on the next USR?
What's the immediate cost of looking the other way? That's the calculation every leader needs to make.